Hey friends, I want to tell you about my son's dog, Mia. If you've been with us for a while, you may have heard me share that Mia was with my husband when he passed, and she stayed by his side for several hours until we got home to be with him. And Mia, since that time, she has been my constant companion. Michael used to tell her if I was sick, you know, take care of mama, stay with mama, and she would come sit with me. And after Michael died, she was pretty much by my side almost 24/7. I'd never had a dog sleep with me in my life, and Mia slept with me. And so I want to share with you something that's happened since we originally recorded this podcast. On the day that this podcast was set to air, the original air date, Mia was scheduled to go in and have her teeth cleaned. She went in, routine, had all the blood work, all the things done, and we received a phone call several hours later that she had unexpectedly crashed during the procedure and they were not able to bring her back, which is crazy because the podcast was set to drop 6 hours after she died, and we had recorded this podcast a week earlier. So I just want to really quickly, if you have gone through this, this is me very fresh off of 3 weeks after losing my dog, my companion. I just want to validate, if you're listening to this, losing a pet is like losing a family member. It is losing a family member. And we went through a lot of the same grief things that we went through when we lost Michael unexpectedly. We had no idea. Mia was a healthy dog. She was so full of life. And to lose her unexpectedly was devastating to Brayden and myself. And so if you're listening to this and you've just recently lost a pet, I would encourage you to go back and listen to older podcasts that we have on self-care and taking care of yourself. All of those things that I practiced after Michael passed, I automatically went back and did the same thing. Just really taking time to take care of ourselves and process her loss. For the first 2 weeks, we were crying. It was so difficult. And so if you're listening to this today, please take care of yourself. If you have previously lost a family member, a human family member, and you're listening to this and you just lost a pet, we talk about this a little bit in this episode. This can be very triggering. So please be gentle with yourself. Remember, your grief is valid. We talk about creating something, you know, a memorial garden or something like that. I have since done that for Mia. I want to just shout out to Megan. She sent me a wind chime, and hopefully she will link it in the show notes for everyone. But I think it's just like such a nice thing. The wind chime says something to the effect of, when you hear the wind, think of me. And it's just such a lovely thing to hear. Just this really has a nice deep tone. And when I hear of it, I do think of her. So if you're listening to this and you're trying to think of ways to honor your pet or something to remember them by, a wind chime, which is, it's just such a nice comforting thing for us. And maybe creating a memorial garden. Today I'm going to take her pet bowl, and I was able to find something that's called the Leica, L-E-C-A. I'll have Megan link that in the show notes. And I'm going to take her water bowl and make it into a planter. Leica is a potting medium that is clay stones, and so that way you're able to have your plant in water, but since there's no drainage, it makes it a little more challenging. So that's something that I'm going to do today. So again, if you are going through this and you've just found this podcast, please go back and listen to some of our other things on taking care of yourself after grief, because this is legitimately like losing a human member of your family for a lot of people. And we just want to acknowledge that, and big hugs to you if that's you.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Christina. And this is the Full Cup Club podcast.
We're here to talk through the good, the bad, and the ugly of loss, whether that's losing a loved one, a job, a dream, or even your marbles.
So whether your cup has coffee, tea, or vodka in it, welcome to the Full Cup Club.
Friends, on today's episode, we are going to have a discussion about pet loss. We recognize that losing a pet is like losing a family member, and it can be incredibly difficult. And we have both experienced pet loss, and we wanted to just have a discussion about that today. And hopefully in that, maybe some of you are preparing to lose a pet, or you have lost a pet, or maybe a friend lost a pet, or your parents lost a pet, and you're just trying to navigate some of that. And some people, pet loss is much felt much deeper than others, depending on maybe it was a single person versus a family pet. Hopefully that doesn't offend anybody about how they love their pet. But before we begin, as we do every week, Megan, what is in your cup? And also, what is metaphorically filling your cup today?
Okay, so today I'm back to an old standard. It is Kirkland brand lemon-flavored sparkling water, comparable to LaCroix. It's solid, it's good, and it's cheaper because it's Costco. We love a Costco purchase. Mm-hmm. And then let me tell you what. I organized my bathroom cabinets yesterday. Mm. And when I say angels sing when I open the doors now, it is fantastic. I put down contact paper. I hadn't done that before. So I put down contact paper. I got shelves. Everything has a bin. It is color coded. It is organized. Everything has its spot. So when I open the cabinet doors, it's like I know exactly where stuff is. It's not just kind of like a jumbled mess of like random products from, you know, free samples or extras of stuff I use. Everything has a spot and I love it so much. It pleases my one wing of my Enneagram so much. I cannot explain how excited it makes me to be organized. What about you? What is in your cup literally? And then what is figuratively filling your cup? And then also, what is your favorite thing to buy at Costco?
Oh, we're adding Costco. Oh my goodness. I'll have to think about that when I get to it. Okay, so today I am drinking one of those Jelly Belly, very cherry are they seltzer? No, that's not seltzer.
Sparkling water?
Sparkling water, thank you, because seltzer has a little something in it. So so I'm having the Jelly Belly, very cherry. If you guys haven't tried these, they are tasty. If you come across them, try them. These fizzy waters are growing on me. So that is what is in my cup today. What is metaphorically filling my cup is the fact that I graduated a few months ago and I had a massive list on Netflix that I just kept. I was just over here delaying gratification. Like, no, you have to study right now. Put it in your little queue my list. And so I am getting to go through that. The other night, I'm like binge watching series. So the other night I binge watched The Act, which if you have not seen that.
I don't know what that is.
It's a mom who had Munchausen's by proxy. It's on Hulu. Munchausen's by proxy. And eventually it's like her daughter ends up on Dateline. So, you know, type of a thing. And so I won't ruin it for you, but it's like an 8-episode series. But last night I stayed up. I have to share this with you because I haven't told you this yet in real life. I am starting to watch comedies. Not comedies, like comedians. And so
stand-up, it's my favorite thing to watch on Netflix.
Have you watched Taylor Tomlinson?
100%.
Do you
both
love
of them.
Her? Does she need to be on our podcast because she lost her mother and she has a dark sense of humor?
She's very funny. In her most recent stand-up, she was like commenting about losing her mom, but then she was like, but I have a Netflix special.
So it all worked out. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I loved it. Yeah. So that's been fun. What do I love buying at Costco? Oh my gosh. Like, if you know me, the answer, you're going to laugh, but it is so true. I love Costco toilet paper. I do. I love a Costco toilet paper. Like, it's just the best toilet paper for so many reasons. I could definitely do a PowerPoint on why Costco toilet paper is superior to other toilet papers.
All right, prove it.
Maybe you'll find it on Instagram. You're going to be like, why is there a picture of Costco toilet paper on their grid? And it's like, it's just slide through.
Costco toilet paper is your favorite thing to buy at Costco, though.
It is. It makes my heart happy because, okay, for one, the price
And your butt.
And my butt. The price is great. Mm-hmm. The texture and the quality, it's not going to, like, let's
it's fine.
Be, it's not going to leave fibers down
I'll give
there.
Give it like, a six. It's fine. No, it's middle of the road, I feel like.
Really? Because I do not like that extra thick, like, really crazy, like, almost like you're, like, a quilted situation. Not quilted, but that really thick stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it leaves, like, pieces?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I just like it for so many reasons. And also, I live in the middle of nowhere, so I can buy it by the case and bring it home and stock it for when there is a zombie apocalypse.
Speaking of toilet paper.
Yes.
Just preferences. One of the birthdays I had where Jason was alive and we were together, he got me a bidet for my birthday.
Oh, okay.
You know what a bidet is?
Oh, yes. Cleans
your whole situation.
Yes.
Your whole undercarriage, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm sorry, what? You got me a toilet? You got me a butt sprayer for my birthday?
What are you trying to say here, man?
Mm-hmm. And he goes, I didn't get you a toilet for your birthday. I got you a lifestyle.
Wow. I thought he was going to say I got you an experience, because that is an experience. I got you a lifestyle.
I got you a lifestyle. And you know what? I love it. I use it every day. And its name, because it's like a spaceship toilet, because it's got like different buttons and different settings, and it's got like a heated seat. It is top tier. Its name is the Starship Enterprise.
Oh my goodness. Friends, on today's episode, as we said, we're going to be discussing pet loss. And so to get us started, I thought it would be a great place to ask, Megan, did you have a pet growing up?
I didn't. I had a hamster when I was in like high school.
Okay.
But we didn't have a family dog or anything like that. So that wasn't an experience I got to have.
When I was a kid, we moved from California to Oregon, and we rented a home from some people who were moving to the city, and they could not take their dog with them. And that is how our family got our first family dog that is just like, when we think back, to our family dog, it was Starsky. And Starsky, for those of you who are more than a minute old, there was a show called Starsky and Hutch when I was a kid. And that is the dog. And so from that name, you would assume that this dog was male, but she was actually female. And she was a flat coat Gordon retriever. So she was a special kind of dog. She's a retriever. She loved water. And she would disappear every day in the middle of the day. And so one day I took my little siblings, as like, I am the oldest of four, as you do. And me being, let's go on an adventure. We followed Starsky. And Starsky walked about a mile. And I followed her, and we all, my little, ducklings followed me, and we found that she was walking to go lay in a canal. Well, I don't know if it would be a canal, because it was like 2 feet wide. It was like an irrigation thing for farmers.
Okay.
And she would go out there and lay in the water. And so it was, but she was such a wonderful dog. And I was not there when my dad had to have her put down, put to sleep, however you want to say that. But my dad, talks about, like, that was a really big thing for him, that, like, when it was so hard, she was such a faithful companion to our family, and just fond memories of Starsky growing up. And
so you're saying Starsky, like,
yes,
with a shk.
I think
I thought it was Starsky.
It could be.
Is it?
I don't know. Be saying it wrong. I'm just trying to say it, period, with these braces.
I remember Starsky and Hutch. I know that it existed as a TV show, mm-hmm. but what I'm picturing is Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson in that movie.
Yeah, she was jet black. So yeah, that's funny that you're saying that yeah, because I think the guy with the dark hair was Starsky. I can't even.
Yeah, I don't remember now.
Yeah, so that's who the little kids before, but like we were just, they didn't know what to do with her, nor we would go over and play with her before we moved into the house, and so we were super excited to have her.
That's so sweet.
She was a wonderful dog growing up, and so yeah, that was my first memory of losing a pet, was losing her. Good dog.
Yeah.
Now, what about as an adult for you? Did you have a dog as an adult? And when did you get said dog?
Yeah, so I did. I got my dog Bear. He was a Pomeranian, so little, but like full-blown Pomeranian, 100%. And I got him when I was in college. So I did have an adult pet, and he was with me through every major life event, you know, graduating college, getting married, getting divorced, getting married again, losing Jason, having a kid, different jobs, different houses. Like, he was my little companion, and he just died last December. Hmm. So he was 19 years old.
Wow.
I got him. Yeah. I got him when he was 3. So he was 3 years old when I adopted him. And yeah, he lived to be 19 years old.
Those little dogs, that's the way to go, is a small dog. Like, they just live forever.
I saw a tweet that said, yeah, I'm going to get a dog today because in 12 years, I'd like to be completely devastated.
No lie detected. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Little Bear. Yeah, he passed. It was 7 months ago at this point. So, yeah, just my little companion. Yeah. And then also, you know, Jason had a dog.
Mm-hmm.
So, she was sick. Every time we'd go to the vet was like, is this the last time? You know, she was sick for a while. Mm-hmm. And then it was maybe a year or two after he died that, she finally passed. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So yeah, that, but really Bear was my little companion, and, I was just as surprised as anybody that he lived to be 19 years old, but also like so blessed, so hashtag blessed mm-hmm. to have that little gremlin follow me around for mm-hmm. 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Michael had a dog. Okay. Just. Wow. She was my dog. She was supposed to be my dog. She was a little teeny 4-pound dog that I was like going to carry around in my purse and tote her everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
Our kids were little. They weren't tiny, but they were younger. And she was so small that she would just like yelp anytime you got near her. So she was a Chia Poo. So she was a Chihuahua Poodle mix. Little tiny black ball of fur. And so.
So cute. Oh my gosh. Do you have pictures?
Yes, I do. We'll have to post
them. We'll share on social. Yeah.
And she wasn't my dog. She adopted Michael. And that was her person through her entire life.
Sweet.
I think she lived. It was either 12 or 14 years. She was pretty tiny. So a lot of times the little dogs mm-hmm. will live longer. But she was so tiny, mm-hmm. she would fit in his pocket. And that was the thing. Like, he would protect her from, like, somebody stepping on
goodness.
Her. And this – Michael was 6 foot, and he was a big guy. Like, he – you know, this little tiny dog. So, like, you think of a guy having, like, this bigger dog, tougher dog. And here mm-hmm. you'd see him with this little teeny tiny – teacup dog, and she would lay on his chest, and it was her person. Like, if I went to kiss him goodbye, like, sometimes I would, you know, I was self-employed, I'd come home during the day, and then I'd go back to work in the evening, and he would be home from work, and she would be laying on his chest, and he would literally have to hold her with both hands so that she didn't try to bite my face off when I went to kiss him goodbye. Yeah.
Aww.
No. And And they had such a bond that the kids and I had this pact that, like, if anything happened to her on one of our watches, we would never disclose who it was that it happened on their watch, because we didn't want him to, like, be like, this happened on your watch. They were very bonded, and she passed away about a year and a half before Michael died. And I remember after she was very sick and she was older, and after we put her down, I said to him, and this, you know, write me letters, do whatever you will, but she was so old and it was his dog. And I said, if something had happened to you, I would have put her down. He said, that's awful. She was older when I said this. And he said, that's awful. Like, why would you do that? And I said, because I would not have wanted her to live without you. And that he got it. Yeah. I didn't. That was her person. Like, nobody else in the world mattered. Yeah. And it would have broken her heart. And I wouldn't have wanted her to suffer like that. And so it was hard for him to lose her, and watching him go through that. But I think for a lot of people, having a pet is this first, it's somebody that loves you unconditionally. This pet loves you unconditionally. They protect you. And it's very difficult for people. It was very difficult for Michael. I could not be the person who made the final decision to, you know, give her peace. He had to come to that place where he could do that. And Abby she was a chocoholic. She was a chocoholic. That little tiny 4-pound dog could find chocolate like no other. We'd go to the movies. It would be in my purse. Like, I'd take the extra candy after we left and come home. And that girl would find a Junior Mint in my purse or something. And so she ended up in the vet more occasions than not. I quit having chocolate around the house, but I promised her that final time where we said goodnight to her, that if it were something we could do, we would give her chocolate. And so on the way, we stopped and bought her a full-size Hershey bar. All 4 pounds of her got a full-size Hershey bar. And so we let her eat chocolate. Goodness. Was the last thing when we went in with her. We sat with her and fed her Hershey's milk chocolate. So, yeah. You know, and the funny thing about Abby was, like, she was this cute little dog, but she was vicious, man. She was attitude.
Man, those little ones are.
I saw her run big dogs. Yeah.
Chihuahua.
Like, she had an attitude. Attitude-y Judy. Yeah.
Bear was definitely the boss of my household.
Really? Okay.
As the smallest member, he was the boss of all the pets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Relatable, I guess. But he didn't have any Chihuahua in him, so he wasn't yappy aggressive.
I have pictures where she bit my finger. It was like a tiny vampire that bit my pinky. Yeah, she was aggressive.
Oh my goodness. As we're talking about this, my dog Shelby is just laying right next to me, and I feel like it's very important to add to the conversation that he's being very sweet and sleepy.
That's kind. We currently have my son's dog Mia. And I've shared this before, Mia, after Michael passed, she started sleeping with me. That was not something that she did before. She would come and lay with me when Michael would bring her to me if I had a migraine, and he would tell her, take care of mama, is what he would say.
Aww.
And so for whatever reason, almost immediately after Michael died, she came in there, which was like a no-no for her to get on our bed. And she has slept with me faithfully since he passed.
Oh, she just knew.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. There's something about her that when you're in pain, you don't even have to say anything, and she will get up in your lap, which is not something that she does. She usually lays beside me. And so it's really unique to see this dog who is sensitive to that. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool. So,
yeah, that's sweet. So I shared that Bear passed in December. Mm-hmm. And it was hard. He was my companion for 16 years through my entire adult life. And so it was definitely hard. But I will say that the grief after he passed was not as long. You know, it was maybe a month of it being new and different and hard. Mm-hmm. You know, a month of that, like, really difficult grieving, maybe less. And then that's, like, also kind of tapering down over a month. It's not like it suddenly stops. But I would say it was way shorter than with, you know, after Jason died. And it very quickly turned into, oh my gosh, remember when Bear used to do that little dance when you pet him on his back? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, remember when Bear would fall asleep at your feet and you'd have to be careful not to step on him when you got off the couch? Like, just, oh, remember when Bear, you know? And the thing that we do in my house, and I don't think this is weird...
will be the judge of
that. But I'm not 100% sure, is that we anthropomorphize all of our pets. So every pet has a voice. So Bear's voice is this, like, it's like kind of an angry, like raspy New Yorker little, like, gremlin type voice. All right. You know, like that.
And he had a full wardrobe. So to that voice he to did. Go with the clothes that he wore is... Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it'll come up every now and then. We'll talk about Bear and then, like, do the voice. And it's just like keeping Jason's memory alive. Mm-hmm. We continue to talk about him. We do the same thing with Bear. And it's turned into, like, remember when Bear? And then we'll be like, when we'll go into the voice. You know what I mean? And
we're over here like, he remember did. When Abby tried to bite my face off? Two different experiences.
Yeah, a little bit different. But yeah, did Abby have clothes?
She did. She had a few little clothes. Yeah. Yes. There might be pictures. Bear had a wardrobe.
Not only did he have a wardrobe, but I like hung a special bar in my closet low to the ground so that I could hang all of his clothes.
We have to post that so people can see. Yes, on social. So cute.
I used like little like kid hangers to hang all of his little outfits.
That's cute.
So anyway, so yeah, all of our pets have voices and their own memories, you know. So even my dog Mia. So you have a current dog, yes. Mia, but Jason's dog who passed was also named Mia. She has her own voice, so we'll just kind of like go into that on occasion, you know. So it is a way for us to keep that memory alive and, you know, just remember these members of our family, these are our fur family, you know.
So one of the funny parts, we talked about Taylor Tomlinson talking about grief, and she talked about this idea of trauma and that sometimes we, you know, can stuff it down. There were just the things she was talking about, and it reminded me that when my brother died unexpectedly at 17, it was probably a year or two later that we got our first family dog when my kids were little. And the family dog, after he was about a year or so old, died unexpectedly and tragically. And that, I remember being at work and finding out, and I cried so hard. And I knew when I was crying that I wasn't crying about the dog. It was triggering. It was like kind of opening up this, I don't know, like breaking through this wall about my brother and crying. So I think, like, sometimes, you know, if you find yourself and you're grieving, you know, if you've gone through loss, that can be triggering if you lose a pet to triggering back to losing your person. So if you experience that and you're like, what in the world? Like, I knew I wasn't crying about the dog when that happened. Mm-hmm. So it was like, sometimes what she talked about was like, sometimes you stub your toe and you're like, oh, there's where I shoved all that grief into that toe. Because for me, I was pregnant with my son at the time, and you're dealing with pregnancy and all of that type of stuff. And I just, it's almost like my body protected me. My brain protected me from grieving too hard about the loss of my brother until after my son was born. So yeah, that was an interesting experience with grief and pet loss.
That is interesting. And that's a different situation. A lot of the times with pet loss, it can be an anticipatory thing, as opposed to that was sudden. And I mean, accidents happen and pets do die suddenly. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, I would say it's like you get this new puppy and you're already anticipating losing it, you know?
We know they're not.
Because they don't live as long as humans. And that's bullshit. It's bullshit.
It is. It's like, why can't they live longer? Like, Yeah. It's very, get a bird apparently if you want like it to outlive you. You have to, I didn't know that. Did you know that you have to like leave your birds in your will, because some of these birds can live so many years, they will outlive you?
I did know that birds have a long life expectancy because my son, when he was 5, wanted a bird. And I was like, I don't want to take care of a bird for 30 years. So
yeah, there you go.
So I had like looked into it and I was like, oh, let's get a hamster instead.
Yeah. I grew up in Southern California in an agriculture community. So I was in 4-H and I was raised around livestock. And I think I have this, vets kind of look at me like, what in the world? I have a really different upbringing as far as animals are concerned. And also, I was raised with a parent who really didn't believe in allowing an animal to suffer. And so that puts me in this like really weird place where a vet is looking at me going, and I'm just kind of like, give it to me straight, doc. Like, tell me what is happening with this pet. And I've had vets look at me like, what in the world? I think we're in a really unique situation when it comes to a pet, because a lot of times a loved one can be suffering and they go through a lot of suffering, where that we can be merciful with a pet. And that is a really hard decision to make. And it's not made lightly. Yeah. And if you are somebody going through that or who has gone through that, we see you. It is a very, can be very difficult. And it could be the first time in your life. Maybe you haven't lost parents or grandparents and you're having to make this really hard decision to let a pet go. And I would just remind you, like, it's a merciful thing to do. Like, we wouldn't make other people suffer. And so why would you have a pet suffer? And a pet can't communicate. And so you are doing what is in that pet's best interest. And so, you know, our hearts go out to you if that is something that you had to do. And maybe it was the first time that you've had to let a pet go and you were the one making that decision and you're struggling with it.
Yeah.
That's very real. And maybe it was the first time when you were with your pet that you experiencing life being lost. Maybe you've never experienced that. Those can be hard things. And we see you. We've been there. And you're not alone in that. And if you're struggling with that, talk to someone. Talk to a friend. You're not a bad person. You actually did something very merciful.
Yeah, and maybe take a friend or family member, somebody with you when you go to that appointment. So you have somebody there. You're not there by yourself. But I do think it's important, and I think vets agree that you should be in the room when it happens. And I know that I've seen the videos on social media where vets say people say they can't do it, but you know, you are your dog's only person, so they're looking for you when it's happening and you're not there. So, you know, in the same way that it's merciful to let them go, also give them the respect of being there when it happens. And it is so hard. Billy was with me when I, when Bear passed, but I was by myself with Mia. So, yeah, it was super hard on both occasions, but it was better with Billy. So, because he was there, he drove me so I didn't have to drive home. He got me a milkshake afterwards, you know, just like anything to just kind of like not take your mind off of it, but just make you feel like a little bit better. So that's my advice there, is take somebody you trust with you.
I had a client years ago. She was on her way to her appointment with me, and her dog, she was a single woman. She had been single for many years. Her children were adults and grown and lived somewhere else. And she called me just frantically crying. You know, as a side note, it's always the people that something traumatic has happened and they reach out to you and say, hey, I missed my appointment versus I'm going to miss my appointment versus the people who are like, they just missed their appointment. And if you do, if you make appointments with people, you will understand that. But she called me and I'm so grateful she did. She called and said, hey, Bear got out and he got hit by a car. And I'm on my way out to the vet. And we have two vets in town. She told me where she was going. And I didn't say anything. I just got in my car and I met her out there. And because I knew she was alone, and she had to make that really hard decision to let him go. And I went in there with him. So if you are somebody that you find out and you recognize, like, this is somebody who's alone, like, offer to go with him. I would mm-hmm. encourage you to do that. Ask what you can do, mm-hmm. especially like if it's someone who is a widow or a widower. I recently went with a family that they had lost the other parent to an appointment where they had to let that parent animal go. And that was really hard on this family and watching them go through it. Because it's just like... there's so many emotions going on there. And and then it was the family dog, and that other parent isn't there to be with them in that process. So that would be my encouragement. And then always to say on social media or to somebody who's lost a pet, this was a family member to them. It's appropriate to say, I'm so sorry for your loss. Or to send a card. Or I know with people, the same thing with losing a person. Like, I have sent, you know, trees, bushes, flowers, that type of thing with the loss of a pet, because I recognize for some people it is their only family member, and that was incredibly traumatic for them. This wasn't a working dog out on a farm. This was a family member. So, and then also, don't rush people. Don't ask them, when are you going to get a new pet? Or I know that the people who had recently lost a pet, they donated, which I thought was such a great idea. They donated all of their pet stuff, their pet bed and food and stuff like that. They had flea medication, all of that type of stuff. And they donated it to the local Humane Society. And that's somebody said to them, oh, are you going to adopt another pet? And it's like, oh my gosh, like, this person just lost someone. Like, give them some time. Like, it's think of us or something. Like, if you decide that you would like to make, you know, when your heart is ready for that. But yeah, I wouldn't push people. Give them some space. Give them some time.
It's funny you said that about donating all of the pet stuff. Mm-hmm. So I had two dogs. I had Bear, and then I have Shelby, who is still alive. And I bought a pet bed for Shelby because he is he gets afraid. He gets stressed out. Mm. And so I got one of those beds that cuddles you. I thought it would help him. But Bear stole it, of course. So now that Bear has passed, Shelby gets his bed back, but he doesn't sleep in it. He just humps it.
Oh my goodness. That's hilarious.
But what you were saying about, you said something about it could be a pet that was a family member who's passed. Maybe you have inherited this pet that either one, you are having to make the decision to let them go, or two, you're at a point in your life where you cannot handle taking care of this pet. Mm-hmm. So in my case with Mia, Jason's dog, she was the dog. I mean, I already took care of her. She was already a dog that I fed and took to the vet and all that. So, it was difficult once we got to the point where the vet was like, we've done everything we can. She was sick for a long time. I think I shared that. And the vet said, there's nothing else we can do for her. So it was difficult to make the decision, but I did recognize that it was the merciful choice, but what if you're in a situation where that happens and you're not in a position where you can care for the animal?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good idea give yourself permission to rehome a pet if that's the case. I know sometimes, maybe it was a parent leaving you an animal, and the dog is, or cat or whatever, mini pigs in my case, you're struggling. Maybe you lost a spouse and you're struggling to make ends meet. And, I don't know what the situation is. But I do know that sometimes there are situations where you are trying to put food in your children's mouth and you're maybe not able to take care of a pet. So I would encourage you, give yourself permission to let that dog go. Don't beat yourself up. Mm-hmm. You did not you know, you did not choose. This was not a choose your own adventure situation. If you have lost a spouse and you are trying to navigate, you know, life now. So give yourself permission, you know, to rehome the pet, do what is best for, you know, you and that pet.
Yep, I agree. And that applies to, yeah, like you said, all pets. We've been really dog heavy on this episode. I have a cat also. Her name is Garage Kitty. And her name is Garage Kitty because she just appeared in our garage one day and never left. We tried to get her to mm-hmm. leave, tried to find her owners. We did all, you know, took all the steps, and she was like, nope, you're my people now. So we've had her for about 5 years and never updated her name.
Put a lot of thought into that name.
Well, truthfully, it was because we didn't mm-hmm. plan to keep her. We assumed she was somebody's mm-hmm. pet, and we didn't want the kids to get attached. Mm. So we were just talking about mm-hmm. the garage kitty, yeah, as in like the cat that's in our garage right now, you know?
I know for us, I have mini pigs, and when Michael was alive, I never thought anything of it. There were two of us. If something happened to one of us, like the other one yeah. was going to be around. And mini pigs can potentially live to be 20 years old.
Wow.
And for, yeah. And so for me, after Michael passed, it was having a conversation with, you know, my dad and saying, hey, I know my dad treats his animals like just spoils them. Like he is so good with his animals.
Aww.
And so I knew, I was like, okay, I asked him, would you, you know, if something were to happen to me, would you, you know, take care of Gracie and Greta? And he said yes. And aww, so, sweet. You know, as just a side note, if you are somebody who has, as Megan and I have, experienced the loss of a spouse mm-hmm. and you don't have children at home, or you do, like your pets are something that you need to think about as far mm-hmm. as like if something were to happen to you, where would those pets go? And that was, you know, I was grateful that my dad was willing to take care of them, because I don't think my daughter, who lives in an apartment, would, you know, very well.
Yeah.
She spoils her dog Eloise very, very like.
Oh, she does. Eloise has a really cush life.
She does. She's quite spoiled. But yeah, so just something to think about.
Well, something to think about is planning. Ahead of time, where your pets will go. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yes. When I think about life insurance or something like that, if you're mm-hmm. leaving, you know, or you're leaving a will, it's like, what happens to your pet? You can yeah. put in there, this pet is going to go to this person, and then these are funds provided for that pet, the care of mm-hmm. that pet. Just as like a random yeah. side note, because this may help somebody, there are insurance policies for pets. And I was not aware of that until my daughter, who is a much better dog parent, animal parent than I ever hoped to be, she has pet insurance. And so I now have pet insurance for my animals. Mm-hmm. And so if you are somebody who has experienced the loss of a spouse, and some of those pet bills, $600, $700, several thousand dollars, that can mm-hmm. be devastating. You've already lost your person and you're trying to figure out, how can I pay for this yeah. bill? And so pet insurance may be the route for you. It's a few dollars a month. So something to consider.
My dog Shelby is so high maintenance because he has epilepsy. So he takes medication 3 times a day. So I would absolutely have to leave him with somebody who could do that, you know, and would be also who could do it and would also be willing to do that. And that's mm-hmm. just something, you know, just a personal thing about my dog. But like, that's something to think about. What's your dog used to? You know, what are they doing? And can the person that you are does the person that you plan to leave your pets with, should you pass unexpectedly, do they know? have you talked to him like you talked to your dad, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like you they need to be left in the lifestyle that they were accustomed to. Would that person take care of them? You yeah. can always make arrangements. If you are going to make arrangements for your children or your pets in the unfortunate, you know, thing of you being gone, you can make arrangements for someone else to make that decision. So everybody is going to be at different stages in life and they can be the person who picks. They don't necessarily have to be the person that keeps the dog, but maybe it's somebody who you feel like can make a really good decision at that point in time where your dog or cat or mini pig is going to go.
Yeah. So you have lost a few pets in your life. Do you have any like memorial type things that you've done for you, for your pets?
Wow. I think for when we lost Abby, she was Michael's dog. She really was his little companion. And for her, we had, I had purchased some things for Michael. And when she passed, Michael had her cremated, which is how I knew that he would be comfortable to me, in my eyes, that he would be comfortable being cremated. And so her little teeny tiny, because she was 4 pounds, her little tiny urn sat on his side of the bed. And I very much, like, when we had her cremated, we brought her home about a week later. It felt like she was back with our family. Like, she was back where she needed to be. And when Michael passed about a year and a half later, their urns sit together now.
Oh, my goodness.
On his side of the bed. So, yes. So, they are, like, there together. So, that's my little memorial for her and him, that they are there. They are there together. But as far as other ones, the rest of our pets are all buried in the same location, an undisclosed location, not on our property, but they are buried in the same location. So that's kind of like, I know I couldn't find it now if I wanted to, but Michael knew where it was. And I thought that was kind of a special thing for our pets to all be in the same space. That
it's like it's like a family plot. And a cemetery
for pets.
That's sweet. That's sweet. That's something to note, that you can, if you are making the decision to, you know, say goodbye to your pet at the vet, they give you the option to cremate your pet on its own separately. You know, they also give you the option to just have them cremated with other pets, you know, just kind of a group thing. And then they scatter those ashes somewhere. They'll tell you where they scatter them. And then they also give you the option to take your pet home if you'd like to bury your pet at home. So I think that's interesting. I never thought, until I was given those options, I never thought about, oh, you could take your pet home. Of course you could, you know, it just, I just had never considered that. But Bear and Mia, are the only pets that I have lost. And Mia was Jason's dog. You know, we remember Mia in spirit. but for Bear, Bear was my dog. 100%, just like Abby with Michael, Bear was my little shadow. And I got his paw print just pressed into a ceramic thing. And at Christmas time, there was like all these different types of Christmas trees, like at Walmart or Hobby Lobby or like wherever. And one of the trees looked like Bear's fur. It was like pampas grass. Kind of. Like it was like pompous grass, like, but in a small, like, tabletop Christmas tree. And I was like, oh my gosh, it looks like Bear's fur. So I bought it. And it's like always up. It's shaped like a Christmas tree, but it's pompous grass. So it looks like Bear's fur, just kind of that golden, like, tan color. And it's next to his paw print. And then I have a drawing I did of Bear next to that.
Now, you do memorial drawings. Let's talk about that. I'm going to shamelessly plug this about
Do
pet photos. So it's your pet doesn't have to pass, but you do. Are they called minimalistic drawings? Or
minimalist,
how does that work?
Minimalist pet photos. So, you can order a custom minimalist artwork from me. It's an illustration. So I can either send it to you as a file, or I can have it printed and send that to you. But yeah, I illustrate your pet. You send me a picture. You can send me, you know, if you want them like with a sweater or or like with or without like a halo if they have passed. But yeah, and then usually what I do is I send the file and you can have it printed however you want. So you can have it printed like just as artwork, or you can have it on a blanket or a coffee mug or whatever. So yeah, I do those. I love doing those so much. Yeah.
And those, it sounds like those would be a really great gift for even if you're sending it to a friend.
Yeah. Would be so a nice, that is, nice that is gift. A bulk of a lot of my orders is my friend just lost their dog. Here's a picture. Can you draw it? Yeah.
Sweet. That's cool.
Doesn't have to be a dog either. I can do cats. I can do pigs. You still need to send me a picture of your pigs, Christina.
I do. I know. I keep like, I every once in a while it crosses my mind, and then I like, and then it, and then just flies and out then the it's other just, side of
it's
my brain.
On its way out the other side. All right. Do you have anything else to add about pet loss?
If you are someone who has recently experienced loss, we hope that you have found comfort in this. And we know that for some, this will be the equivalent to losing a family member, because pets for many of us are family members. They are someone, I say someone because it feels like a person, but they have loved us unconditionally when maybe we didn't have family that loved us unconditionally, or they protected us. They were maybe our, you know, maybe you were somebody who struggles with different mental health things, and this animal brought you peace, and they were an emotional support to you. And so we just want to send love out to you and recognize that this is a grieving period that you're going through, just like if you lost a person.
Yes.
And so, just give yourself a lot of grace and space as you go through this. And we hope that you're able to find some little way to make maybe a memorial garden, plant some flowers, plant a little bush or something, put some cute rocks in there and remember your pet that way. Because they just, I love that pets, they kind of live to bring you joy. And so we hope you find something else, whatever that is, maybe there are memories that bring you joy as you navigate this.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too, is maybe it's just, you know, those happy memories. Your pet was probably part of a lot of your happy moments, you know, and it's completely valid to be devastated when they're gone.
Yes.
So we're just here. We understand. We're with you. We get it. And it's hard and it sucks. But we'll get through it. You'll get through it.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, friends. Well, the time has come. So whether your cup is empty, half full, or overflowing, raise it up. Here's to the craziness of life after loss. Cheers.
Cheers.
And before we fully end, I just want to remind everyone, if you have a story to share or an anecdote about your pet that you've lost, send us an email at fullcupclubpodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram, and you can share your pet pictures with us too. We love to hear those stories, and we're so happy you're here. So thank you. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, leave a review if you can, and we will see you next time. Thank you so much for being here with us. Please subscribe to our podcast if you found it helpful. And you can also find us on social media on Instagram at Full Cup Club Podcast. And if you search Full Cup Club Podcast on Facebook. Again, thanks friends, and we'll see you next time.